Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The Late Night Anger Management Class has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people at Bust Them, and everybody else in between. It's bowl season. It's NFL playoff season. The Super Bowl is around the corner. NBA basketball, full slate. Ton of stuff going on. Ton of stuff to break down. Steve Merrill's going to step up, and then we're going to run the gauntlet. We've got the Cotton Bowl tomorrow night. The Oklahoma Sooners and the Florida Gators are on tap. Of course, we've got the semifinal rapidly approaching. Fortunately, we have the end of 2020 rapidly approaching as well. The Milwaukee Bucks, is it revenge for losing in the playoffs? Probably not. But I'm sure that they still enjoyed beating the Miami Heat 144-97. That's what happened tonight. No Jimmy Butler, and Milwaukee just kicked the living crap out of the Miami Heat this evening. 144-97, the final score. If you tuned into last night's program, we were talking some Toronto Raptor basketball with Pete Yiannopoulos, and we talked about how the Toronto Raptors just can't close games this year. Raptors are now 0-3. All right, the Raptors are now 0-3, and the Raptors have had like double-digit leads in like basically every game. We've only played three games. I don't think they had a double-digit lead against the Spurs. It might have gotten up to 7 or 8 type thing, but I know they were up by 4 with like 50 seconds left, and they blew that as well. They were in control most of the game against the Philadelphia 76ers, as the Toronto Raptors, man, they're like a baseball team, like that, you know, with like a bad bullpen. You know what I'm saying? Like their closer sucks. Like they can't close basketball games. All right. You know who can't close basketball games? The New Orleans Pelicans. Because to be able to close a basketball game, you actually have to be in a basketball game. And at what point are the Pelicans just sort of like, yeah, whatever? So you got a bunch of dudes that dunk. All right, cool. How's it working out for you? How's it working out for you? The Phoenix Suns starting to put it together, though. I'll tell you that much. The New York Knicks get it done. And we all knew that, you know, listen, all undefeated streaks have to come to an end. There's been some fun ones this year. San Jose State Spartans, it's been a hell of a ride. Coastal Carolina went on a hell of a run before losing to Liberty. But I have to say, like, right, you know, if we're going to talk about team of the year and story of the year in 2020, I think the 2020 Cleveland Cavaliers deserve some love. The 3-0 run is done. The Late Night Anger Management Class has just begun. Bring it.
Took you long enough to get here, Sporto. Now that you've found us, keep it right here for sports news you can use. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network. Took you long enough to get here, Sporto. Now that you've found us, keep it right here for sports news you can use. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talk about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi. We're throwing it down. It's the Twisted Tuesday. We got a full house. Drew Martin Betts going to step up in it. I don't know if Drew's in Vegas or if he's in Florida. It's hard to keep up with Drew. He's somewhere. But yeah, Drew Martin Betts going to step up in it. Steve Merrill returns. Steve hasn't been on the program for like a week, and it feels like we haven't spoken to him in like 2 months. Or something like that. We miss Merrill. So there were two bowl games today, and two quarterbacks get hurt. Two star quarterbacks that get hurt. Derek King was on crutches before this Cheez-It. Imagine, like, you shred your knee for the Cheez-It Bowl. Like, what you know, he got a Cheez-It swag pack, basically. Although I will say, and I maintain this, I said this earlier in the day today, and I maintain this take, that all college bowl games, like, unless you can put it in a bowl, you can't be a sponsor. Like, it's got to be, like, you got to be able to, like, it's got to be, like, in a bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Reese's Pieces Bowl, the M&M's Bowl. How come it's not an M&M's Bowl? How cool would that be? The M&M's Bowl, right? Like, unless you can put it in a bowl, and I just thought it was cool. I was like, Cheez-It? Perfect. Cheez-Its are perfect for a bowl, especially to watch a bowl game. And as Steve Merrill joins us, Steve, I don't know if you saw, but I'm a man. Mike Gundy, instead of Gatorade, they poured, like, it was, they had the tub of Gatorade, but it was full of Cheez-Its. And he didn't know. He thought he was going to get all wet. They poured, like, you know, thousands of Cheez-Its over him. Great, great stuff. He was pulled him out of his shirt and stuff after. Steve, good to have you back. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too, Gabe. And yeah, I was just happy that they held on to cover as a 1-point favorite when they were up 21-0. It was looking pretty good early in that game. And then they, of course, made you sweat it like a lot of these bowl games do.
Yeah, you know what, Steve? I've been saying this. And listen, you've been betting a long time and you cap a lot of different sports. I've said I think bowl games are the most difficult thing in all of sports betting. You know, whatever, we talk about tennis and cricket and et cetera, but you know what I mean? As far as the major sports are concerned, I think bowl season is the trickiest handicap, Steve.
Yeah, but what's funny about that, Gabe, is that over the years, you know, it's been very good for me for that reason, because I would take those 10 or 12 point underdogs that could win outright because the favorite didn't want to be in those early bowl games, you know, and they would soar over the total because neither team cared about being in those early bowl games. And I really don't feel like those angles work this year, though, because, you know, these teams are basically just playing another game. They're not there for 1 or 2 weeks. There's no distractions to take them away from the game. They travel, they play, they go home. So I think this year is definitely different. Yeah, it's been just a random college football season in general. So I think that does make it tricky. You know, it's funny you said that, because I did wager talk today earlier, and I mentioned how the NBA is really setting up well. I've won four straight here. I missed my first couple games last week, but I've won four straight. And I just love how this NBA season is playing out with the back-to-backs and with teams not caring and the head-to-head reverse, you know, matchups. And one of the odds makers that was on the show after me said the sports books are really struggling with the NBA and they don't know what to do. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that makes me like it even more, because sometimes that uncertainty, like in the bowls or the NBA this year, can actually help you as a handicapper.
That's a great point that you raised, Steve. And I'm so caught up in football. I'm so caught up in the bowls. And, you know, it's bowl season, it's NFL playoffs, so we're going to spend the majority of the shows talking about, you know, football. But as you stated, I'm noticing just these crazy scheduling spots for teams right now in the NBA and even college basketball for that matter. But I want to start to pick these spots in the NBA right now. And I talked about this, Steve, coming into the year. I wanted to take a look at teams that didn't go far in the bubble, that, you know, maybe they didn't even make the playoffs at all. Just they're excited to play basketball. You know, that bubble went on for a while, man. that all those teams were in there. So think about like those eight teams or whatever it was that didn't like play any basketball at all. They're like, it feels like it really was an off season for them. They're dying to get back on the court, right? And then you get these other teams that went further. Like, you look at the Miami Heat, dude. They're still beat up from the finals, Steve. You know what I'm saying? It's been such a quick turnaround. They're still beat up. like you know, the Lakers are still have injuries that they had during the finals that are lingering. And then you get these fresher teams like the Portland Trailblazers, bad taste in their mouth. Pacers, even though the Pacers blew it tonight, Pacers got swept in the bubble, came out hot so far this year, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the standings. Like the Raptors start 0-3, Bucks 2-2, Heat 1-2, yep. Lakers 2-2. I mean, yeah, I mean, the best teams in the league last year are all below 500, basically. And I did a preview show a couple weeks ago, and Andrew McGinnis was actually on. He'll be on later, of course. And we all talked about how you want to look to kind of play on these teams, as you said, Gabe, that had the extra rest, you know, have a little bit fresher legs, a little bit fresher motivation, because it's hard to imagine these big boys like the Bucks or the Lakers, especially, who won the title, are going to care about these 70 games. It's just going to be load management for these teams. They know they're making the playoffs, and they want to be fresh. And as you and I always talk about, there's always more value with the under-season wins, you know, because bad stuff can happen. There's really no upside, but there's a lot of downside with injuries or COVID issues. So, like, Bucks, Clippers, and Lakers had the three highest team totals. Play them all under, you know, and it's, so far it's working. The one team I did like over, and I mentioned it in that show, was the Atlanta Hawks. They're in the low 30s, and the Hawks are exactly what you're talking about, a young team, a lot of depth, and they didn't play in the playoffs last year. That's the type of team I'm looking to play on.
I've got to, you know, it's amazing, though, if you look at the standings, as you stated, Steve, you know, this is obviously, I'm going to say, if the season ended today, but the fact of the matter is, the Lakers and the Miami Heat wouldn't be in the playoffs. Like, they both, like, you know what I mean? They were in the finals, as you stated, like, the Miami Heat. And like, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks are on the outside looking in. I'm just saying, yeah, look at the playoffs in Eastern Conference, right? Look at the standings. Orlando's in first place, 4-0. Atlanta, 3-0. Cleveland, 3-1. Pacers, 3-1. Philadelphia, 3-1. Brooklyn, 2-2. The Knicks, 2-2. And Boston, 2-2. You know what I mean? It's like, wow. And obviously, it's early right now, but I brought it up. So, Steve, you know, listen, I'm a diehard Toronto Raptor fan, and I'm like Pete Rose, all right? When Pete Rose was betting baseball, guys, if you don't know the story, they say, and Pete never bet against the Reds, right? He never did, and it really is true. But the thing is, they knew when he didn't bet on the Reds that meant he thought they were going to lose, Steve. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Pete's bookies caught on to this. They're like, nah, he's hardcore. He doesn't, like, he never bets against the Reds. And when he was manager of the Reds, he never bet against the Reds. But a couple of times a week, he wouldn't bet on himself. He wouldn't bet on the game. And I, you know, that tells me he didn't really have confidence they were going to win. He didn't like the pitcher or whatever. So I feel the same way. It's like the Raptors. I'll either bet on them or I'll sort of pass, but I kind of feel like I left a winner on the table today because it's the third game in a row, Steve, where the Raptors play good. They're up by double digits. They're playing well, but you never get the feeling that they're going to pull away. Like, no, let me rephrase it. The Raptors are up by 8 points, but they don't look good doing it. But they're up all the time, and then they just collapse in the fourth quarters of these basketball games. Three straight games, same scenario.
Yeah, and I mean, just to show how crazy this season is going to be, I had the Mavericks, as I mentioned, I missed the first two games of the season. One of them was the Mavericks last Friday. I've won four straight since then. But I had the Mavericks on Christmas night against the Lakers, and they were never really in that game. And then they come out the very next game, and they lead the L.A. Clippers by 50 points at the half, an NBA all-time record in the modern era. And the Clippers were actually the odds-on favorite to win the championship last year in the restart. And then they got bumped, obviously, by the Nuggets, you know, in seven. So it's not like they beat some slouch team. They led the Clippers on the road by 50. So, I mean, we've never seen that happen before, and it's one of the better teams in the league. So, yeah, there's some weird stuff that's going to happen this year. And just to piggyback on what you said, I'm going to name seven teams here. Do you think this is the playoffs in or out right now? Lakers, Warriors, Mavericks, Nuggets, Grizzlies, Thunder, Rockets. They're on the out right now in the Western Conference. Crazy.
Steve Farrell with us. All right, we're going to hit the Bulls. We're going to hit the NFL, more NBA talk, all that and more.
Remember that state championship game you played in high school? Yeah.
We can't get over it either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. Took you long enough to get here, Sporto.
Now that you found us,
keep it right here for sports news you can use. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Don't think of us as just sports talk. Think of us as a full immersion crash course in sports news you can use. You listen,
you learn.
Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. Well, I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. I am Renzi. Vet your rage. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. A lot of stuff I want to get to with Steve. And I saw someone in our chat, Steve, saying earlier, too much college talk on this show. Can you imagine, Steve, talking college sports in bowl season, right? Who would have imagined ever talking about college sports in the middle of college football bowl season and the semifinals just 2 days away? But as far as the NBA, and I want to get into the college football and NFL with you, as your Washington football team on the verge of winning a division title, potentially, Steve. So I want to get into that, but you mentioned, so the craziness of the NBA, and it's one of these deals, there's so much going on. Me and Cameron on live, we're on, you know, from 6 to 9, and we're doing our thing. We're on during the, you know, we're watching the Cheez-It Bowl and stuff, and there's all these big games. So you had, you know, the Alamo Bowl, the Suns and the Pelicans, the Bucks and the Heat. There's all these big games. I had my eye on Sacramento all day. And the Clipper and the T-Wolf game kind of, you know, flew under the radar to me. And it was one of these deals where it's like about an hour before the game. I was like, how the hell do we not just blindly bet the first half of this game, Steve? After being down 50, like even without Kawhi Leonard, you're down 50 at the half. You figure, like, come on, how are they not going to respond in the first half? And in the first quarter, hey, the game was close. But when it was all said and done, they were up by 20 at the half. So that's as you stated, you and I have been talking about the zigzag theory for years, and you know I'm a fan of multiple zigzag theories, Steve. So we've been talking about that. But, yeah, that was a winner tonight that, you know, that one should have been smashed. There's no way in hell the Clippers are not going to compete in the first half tonight.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, I think the takeaway is that, you know, teams that we think are going to be good teams, if they're coming off a bad loss or something, you know, let's look to play them, because you look at the Bucks, what they win by 47 tonight in the statement game at Miami. And, you know, Milwaukee's a team that's had a bad loss already this season, as a double-digit favorite as well. So it just shows me, you know, you kind of have to have a feel for which team you think are legit. You just have to predict when they're going to play. You know, and you look at the Nets. I played against Brooklyn on Sunday with the Hornets. The Hornets won outright as an 11-point dog in overtime. Nets came back on Monday night against Memphis yesterday, played another overtime game. They sat Durant and Irvin in that game, you know. So the load management is critical, and that's kind of what the odds maker was saying earlier today on the show I was on, is that, you know, they just don't know what to do. They just don't know who's going to be playing. And I think as a bettor, as a handicapper, if we pick our spots here, I mean, the situational, it's really just purely situational handicapping with the NBA more than ever. It usually is. But, I mean, throw the stats out the window. They mean absolutely nothing. It's just a pure situational handicap day by day.
It really is. And, you know, these teams are right back at it. Boston's playing Memphis tomorrow. Milwaukee and Miami. This is whack. They're playing again. they're playing again. So this is what we're talking about. You know, Steve, you know, with the NHL starting coming up in a couple of weeks, their schedule, there's a couple of instances where the same teams are going to play each other 4 days in a row. Like, they're just going to like, all right, we're going to wipe this out so we don't have to travel again. You know what I mean? Boom. We're going to play 3 days in a row. Basically, they're going to do like baseball. Some three-game series, two-game series. So, you know, they don't like the four-game set, but I think there's two of them when it's all said and done. I think there's two of them. And, you know, a very interesting handicap, Steve. This is the one thing that you and I, we've talked about, and I'm always fascinated by our conversations. And I remember, Steve, how I caught on real early to this, and I loved it, bro. It was in the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs, and you and I talked about it, how the point spreads were the same all the time, right? So yep. You were getting these situations at great value. It was like, well, Miami's going to beat Milwaukee again. Why aren't they? It's not like they're going back to Milwaukee or anything. And then they would win again. It's like 5-point underdogs. Remember, it would happen over and over. And in hockey, they didn't change the numbers at all. Like every game, the series would go 7 games, and the team that was plus 150 the whole series would still be plus 150. So even if you lose the game 7, you already cashed a bunch of tickets, Steve, in the series. Like you said, the odds makers, they can handicap an event. They can handicap the X's and O's, the numbers, the stats, the yards, the three-point shots, the blocks. They, you know, their algorithm can put all this in, but all of this other stuff with games back-to-back-to-back, bubble, hubs, no fans, COVID, they can't put any of that in the computer, Steve.
Yeah, it's an excellent point, Gabe. I mean, that's exactly where you get an edge as a handicapper. You're exactly right about that. The odds, the point spreads are sharper than they've ever been on average because the math, the formulas, you know, everything is spot on, like you said. But what the computers can't do, they can't feel, they can't love, and they can't handicap emotional situations. You know, and that's, like I said, with the NBA, you know, that's how you're handicapping every game this year. And that's probably why that odds maker earlier today that was on the show with me said that the odds makers don't know what to do with the NBA. And it makes a lot of sense now that we're talking about it because, yeah, they're pure numbers. And, hey, look, I'm a number guy. You know that. But for the NBA handicapping, I'm not. And, yeah, I think that's where you find your edge. You know, once again, they got to put a number on every game. I always say that as well. The one edge you have is that you don't have to play all 30 games or they have to put a number up for all 30 college football games. You know, and you pick those two or three where there's an edge. That's how I'm approaching the NBA. And, by the way, I don't see a line for that Milwaukee-Miami rematch yet tomorrow. It'll be very interesting to see how they adjusted after a 47-point margin tonight.
Read my mind. And what's the deal with Jimmy Butler? It was a long-term, not long-term injury, but can he play? They must be wondering about that. And I got to tell you, Steve, yeah. I'm going to walk. I'm betting this like we just talked about it. Situational spot. Give me the Miami Heat in the first quarter. You know what I'm saying? Give me the Miami Heat in the first quarter, Miami Heat first half. Dude, they just lost by 47 points on their home court. Like, and they get a chance to play the same team the next night on their home court again. We never see this, Steve, ever. It's like unique situations.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, I love it because I think you're exactly right. It's like a quicker version of the zigzag on crack. I mean, it's like we don't even have to wait for a day off for the rematch like we do in the playoffs.
2020 zigzag. It's stronger and harder. Stronger. So let me ask you, Steve, about this. I brought this up earlier. So you look, De'Ara King gets hurt today. Miami Hurricanes. Now listen, De'Ara King was going to come back to Miami anyways. He already told them, I'm coming back next year. And so he didn't just blow the NFL or anything like that, but he just shredded his knee in the Cheez-It Bowl. So he's out. Sam Ellinger, same thing. I don't think Sam Ellinger's an NFL star, but nevertheless, he's playing in a meaningless bowl game and he ends up getting hurt, right? I don't know what the deal is with his shoulder, separated shoulder, whatever it was. He ends up getting hurt. Zion played, Steve. Zion played for Duke after. And even though he knew he was going to be the number one pick, if he didn't play, he would have been the number one pick. Like, if you're Trevor Lawrence, like, you know, you must really love Dabo Sweeney, man. And I don't know, there must be hot chicks at Clemson, but even he's married now. He's married already. It's like Superman.
I didn't know
flying.
That.
Trevor Lawrence is engaged and married and stuff. Yeah.
What's his name? You like that one, huh?
Yeah, I tell you, you want to know? I was going to say that's horrible, Steve, but I'm going to come back at you. Andre.
No, Agassi. He brought it upon himself. Andre he chose Agassi. To have the girl length hair and the headband. I mean, come on. He brought that one on himself. I didn't know he was married or engaged, though. I didn't know that at all. That was funny, though.
Good. Thanks. Thank you. I expect better from you, Merrill. I really do. But
no, he's not listening. Don't worry.
So as I was going to say before I was even Nick in Chicago, settle down, Merrill. Even you know your ruffled feathers when the Rageaholics are like, whoa, hey. Okay,
that's,
so
that's 2020 for you, man. Everything's just too politically correct now.
He does look like Steffi Graf. I'll give you that. The tennis.
He does, I didn't think of Graf. He does look like Steffi Graf. That's a good point. That might be what I've been trying to figure out for like 3 years now, Gabe. I think you just solved it for me.
He does look
like
Graf.
He's got the exact like nose and eyes and that's funny. Yes. Yeah, Graf. Wow. I never saw. Yeah, that's been driving me crazy for 3 years now. I think you figured it out for me.
All right. So, as I was saying, what's he playing these games for, anyways? What are you going to play again? Like, what does he have to gain by playing in this? He's already the number one pick.
Well, I mean,
like, it's like,
yeah, but he's going for a national championship.
Yeah, he's already won a national championship.
I know.
Tim Tebow won. Yeah. So, who cares? Vince Young won a national championship. Does anyone care right now about that? Is anyone helping Vince Young out in his life? Because, he won a national championship. So he's got the memory. He's already got the memories. I'd rather have the memory of the $98 million I'm going to get in 2 months. And I'd rather not shred my knee. Next week for free for some university that doesn't give two craps about me. I'm just saying.
Here's what I'm wondering, Gabe, is that, I mean, he's got to have some kind of insurance policy. Now, it might not pay out $98 million, but I know, like, Lloyd's of London and stuff, like, they used to offer those off policies. So I would hope he has something, but I don't know if he does. And I get where you're going with that. I mean, I hate seeing these guys get hurt when they do play. You know, and I always hope they have some kind of insurance. But look at Tua. Tua had a terrible injury. I mean, just 10 years ago, he's probably not playing anymore. 30 years ago, when we were growing up, these guys never would have recovered from these hip and knee injuries. So, I mean, they do rebuild these guys like they're robots. But, yeah, I get what you're going with that. I mean, I'm glad to see him playing. I'm glad to see him going for a national title. But I sure hope he has some kind of, $50 million payout insurance policy just in case.
$5 million it is. I see it now.
Yeah, that's not much. Yeah.
He's already probably made $5 million at Clemson. Less than he made. Bring it.
Coming at you all day.
Every day.
With more attitude than other lesser networks would deem appropriate. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Took you long enough to get here, Sporto.
Now that you found us.
Keep it right here for sports news you can use. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network. If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This
is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winners, and I know the winners. So call me now.
Whoa!
$5 for the first minute, $2 for each additional minute.
You have reached the coach's hot
line. Yeah, lay it on me, coach.
In the game of my MA versus
Cincinnati.
Come on, don't you realize this is costing me money?
Late night anger management class. I am Gabriel Moretti. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. Lucky Steve Merrill kicking it with us. So as long as we're being jerks and making bad jokes right here tonight, I do want to. I am glad. All kidding aside, I am glad. I don't dislike Kirk Herbstreit. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a good analyst. But so we wish him the best, and we're glad that he's okay. He says that he's feeling. He's feeling all right, despite the fact that he's tested positive for COVID. He's going to be working the Sugar Bowl remotely. He's going to be working the Sugar Bowl remotely. Clemson and Ohio State. Now, as a Michigan fan, I sort of recall Kirk Herbstreit saying that, quote, Michigan waves the white flag and doesn't play Ohio State next week, which upset the Michigan athletic director. Kirk Herbstreit totally implied that Michigan were ducking Ohio State and we're going to use COVID as an excuse. So I can't help but bring up the fact that maybe Kirk Herbstreit's using COVID as an excuse, Steve, not to go to the game so he doesn't see his Ohio State Buckeyes get killed by Mr. Trevor Lawrence. What do you think, Merrill, about that take?
Yeah, I was confused for a second when you brought up. I was like, we haven't talked about Kirk Herbstreit. I thought maybe I said something about him too that I didn't recall, but I didn't know he had COVID. I hadn't heard that. So, yeah, I mean, what's about a 75% chance that he would see them lose, right? Because they're a 7-point underdog.
So, I couldn't resist bringing that up. It's funny. As soon as you make bad jokes about that stuff and call people out, it's going to come back and get you. And people have been pretty nice to him. Yeah, people have been pretty nice to him on Twitter. I couldn't help but look at the comments. There were a few. There was one woman in Michigan who said, I can't help but recall your snide and inappropriate comments about Michigan, but I'm a nurse, so I won't say anything to you. I wish you the best. I thought, you know what?
Well, that's nice.
I'm not a nurse, so I can say something. I was like, you know, he has been on my show before, but like, you know, I can't, like, if I didn't say anything about anybody who's been on my show over the years, I wouldn't say anything about anybody. I wouldn't say anything about anybody. All right, so Steve Slow, let's blast through some of these bowl games. So it begins, we got a full slate tomorrow, rolls through, not full slate, but we got an earlier game. And then we got the Cotton Bowl tomorrow. So what do you think about the Wake Forest game with Wisconsin? And then, of course, we've got the Cotton Bowl tomorrow night with Florida and Oklahoma.
Yeah, we were supposed to have three games. Missouri-Iowa has been postponed. I mean, I would assume it's canceled. It says postponed, but I don't think they're making up any of these bowl games as far as I've seen. Early kickoff. So, yeah, it's kind of a mess, too, Gabe, because the Missouri-Iowa game was going to be the 4 o'clock Eastern. So I assume, is Wisconsin Wake still at noon? I don't know if they've moved that or not, but it's still looking like an early kickoff. So, like, you know, kind of screwed the networks here. You think they would have flexed that a little bit later. I mean, I'm not sure why they wouldn't, because there's no fans really. But, yeah, Wisconsin, you just wonder about their motivation. I mean, this is a team I think very well could be one of the top, all things equal, healthy, you know, no distractions like they've had. I think they could have been at one of the top 4 teams in the country this year. I think healthy and fully focused, they probably could have beaten Ohio State. But the Big Ten screwed them. We've talked about it here on the show. You know, they come out after the 2 games winning start and they have a few weeks off with the COVID issues. And they're like, guess what? You're going to have to play 6 games to be in the title game. And Wisconsin goes out and, you know, what, the bed the rest of the season after that. And then a few weeks later, well, Ohio State can still get in with 5 games. So, I mean, you know, Wisconsin really kind of got screwed this year. And they've just been kind of sleepwalking through the season since. I don't know. Do you trust them to all of a sudden show up as a 10-point favorite here?
No, and it's a great point that you raise. I've talked about it too. Their season was sabotaged, in which what was the motivation for them knowing, yeah, you know what? Even if we run the table, we're not getting in. Only, as Steve said, only for them to roll over for Ohio State. And you know what? I just wanted to bring something up about Herbstreit and Ohio State. So let me ask you, and I think Herbstreit's a great analyst, right? I really do. I enjoy his work on TV. I think Fowler's awesome. So, but with that being stated, why is Herbstreit doing the Ohio State game? Like, shouldn't he do the Alabama-Notre Dame game? He wasn't the quarterback for Alabama or Notre Dame. Like, remember in the old days, they used to think about things like that. Like, Herbstreit will always say before a game, when they do their picks, right? Well, I'm doing the game. Yeah. I can't get my pick. It's like, dude, you were the damn quarterback of the game. Do we think you're, like, cheering for Clemson tonight? Oh, yeah, you're neutral, Kirk. You got Ohio State gear behind your head when you do your hits. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm neutral. I can't give a pick. What do you mean you can't give a pick? You played. Like, I don't understand. Like, dude, shouldn't he just be doing the Alabama-Notre Dame game? Like, he should. It's not even a question. I'm telling you. If I'm like an old-school TV exec, I'm like, no, we're not putting the Ohio State quarterback. You want to piss Clemson guys off? Why don't we have a Clemson player on? You know what I mean? Like, where does it end? Why do we have an Ohio State guy on? Just put him on the other game. And you know what I mean? Like, I believe this. College, it pisses fans off. They don't have a choice of other broadcasts, Steve. If you're a Clemson fan, you want to tune in, you think you're going to get a fair call from Kirk Herbstreit? Come on.
You know, what's interesting about that is you brought up exactly what I was going to say. It's been a pet peeve of mine for 20 years when you're watching game day and these other pregame shows. The NFL does it sometimes too. They don't make a pick. And it took me about 10 years to even understand why they were doing that, Gabe. I'm like, are they betting on the game? I mean, that's all I'm thinking is point spread money, like when they're picking. And I finally realized like 10 years later after all this confusion every week that it's because they were calling the game as the analyst. I'm like, you got to be SHing me. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, if that's the only reason I guess it makes sense. Otherwise, I would have never even thought twice about him calling the game, to be honest. And even if he was a bit of a homer, I think that would have made it even more entertaining, you know, honestly. But yeah, the whole thing that they don't do the picks in the pregame shows, like they're that insecure that if they're calling the game, they're going to be rooting for the team because they picked them in the pregame show with no money on the line. I mean, you and I obviously look at things differently, I guess.
Well, yeah, they don't want to offend either team. That's the logic behind it. You know, I don't want to offend either team. I'm doing the game. It's like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, when they go to commercial, the best is I'm not going to give a pick on this game. And then they go to a commercial brought to you by FanDuel. you can kind of pretend, guys, like that, you know, no picks. Anyways, I like when they give picks because, you know, they're never right. Play-by-play guys are the worst at that stuff. They always go with the home team in a favorite. It's always the same thing. Oh, you know, they're going to be tough to beat on home field tonight. So Florida and Oklahoma. I was thinking back to the 2008 title game. We've been talking about it a lot. I thought that game was going to go over for sure. Florida without their three top receivers in this game. What do you make of it? Is it a trap here with Oklahoma? Everybody loves the Sooners, and the money's pouring in on the Sooners right now.
Yeah, what a great game for December 30th. I mean, these are two teams that could have definitely been in the Final Four. And just a few weeks ago, you know, Florida had an excellent chance, so they lost to LSU. And I'll be honest, if Oklahoma doesn't start 1-2, they're in the playoff, in my opinion. And I still rank them as one of the top four teams in the country right now. But this is a meaningless bowl game for two teams that really had chances at a national title. So you got to, once again, the motivation with Wisconsin. Same thing with both Florida and Oklahoma. The difference, though, Gabe, I would say, is that Oklahoma kind of knew they weren't in the running after week three, and they still saved their season and played extremely hard after the first month. So I would expect them to still show up. Florida, meanwhile, had the rug pulled out from under them 2 weeks ago against LSU. They had to beat Alabama. They didn't think they would, but they still played them tough and covered, losing by only six. Boy, it's hard to imagine they're just going to flip a switch and show up here just a week and a half later.
Yeah, they had their hearts ripped out. It's a great point. Oklahoma can end the season real strong, build on something with the quarterback and Rattler and these kids going into next year. And as you stated, they're playing great football. The market is agreeing right now up to 4.5. And don't forget, as we stated, Florida, their stud tight end, Pitts is out. Their top two wide receivers are out as well. The top three pass catchers are gone for the Florida Gators. Whatever. You know they're going to step up. They're going to have playmakers still. They're going to have other – they still have another kid that's a stud too. But it's hard to overcome this stuff, especially again – and it's a great call, as Steve mentioned. And we're talking about a team that lost three games, guys. And you saw how emotional they were. I mean, the quarterback, Trask, was literally in tears after the game. He wouldn't leave the field. That was an emotional game against Alabama. Now you got to dig down deep. Oklahoma's tired of getting sand kicked in their faces by these SEC teams in the playoff games. I think payback comes here. Oklahoma -4.5 right now. I want to get into some NFL with you, Steve, but just blasting through to college. Cincinnati's now getting 6.5 against Georgia. Georgia has been playing well since JT Daniels took over the quarterback position. And I'm not the biggest Daniels fan, but I'll give the kid credit. He's played well with them. Northwestern lay 3.5 to Auburn. And then, of course, we got the semifinal games. And another game, actually, that, you know, I haven't really talked about much is the Texas A&M North Carolina game, up to 7.5 right now, total 65.5. This game should be a track meet, shouldn't it? Texas A&M and North Carolina.
Yeah, and just some of the line moves on these games, like you mentioned, Florida opened a 3-point favorite a couple weeks ago, and now they're a 4.5-point dog. So tremendous line adjustment there. But that -3 was just purely a bad number. I mean, because for the reasons we talked about. The total on this game, the North Carolina A&M game, that is actually dropped 2.5, 3 points, 68.5 down to 65.5 now, Gabe. So surprisingly, there's been some under money. But yeah, North Carolina can score at will over 40 points a game. A&M, I mean, is pretty good offensively too. So I don't quite understand the drop in the total. I haven't dug that deep into that game because it's not till Saturday night. Maybe there's some key offensive guys missing, like, you know, we talked about in the Florida game.
Yeah, it feels like it's a world away. I know. I'm looking at the game. I'm scrolling way to the bottom. But I'm like, yeah, you know, we're not. It's because we're not going to talk again, Steve. We missed you. You know what? Like, Steve comes on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Next year.
We're not on Friday. We will be, but not this show because it's the game. So we do in-game live. So we'll be like just sort of doing – it's not sports rage. You know what I mean? I'll be on live during the game giving in-game picks and stuff like that. But, you know, the regular show. So, yeah, we won't speak again until the following Tuesday after that. But we'll have the NFL playoff picture settled. So what about Notre Dame and Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson? Seems like Clemson and Alabama are on a collision course once again, doesn't it?
Yeah, and obviously the odds makers had to inflate the lines on both those teams, especially Bama. I mean, they've just been a point spread machine. We talked about that Florida game earlier where Bama won but finally did not cover, but they were covering left and right all season. You know, going into that game, Alabama was 10-0 straight up, and they were 8-2 against the spread in those 10 games, which is remarkable considering how public they are. And Clemson's becoming more and more public after their blood of Notre Dame. I think the Ohio State, I just don't know if Notre Dame can score enough to keep up in that game. The Notre Dame defense has been strong, but they haven't faced anything like Alabama. And the fact that Notre Dame lost by 24 to Clemson is probably not boding well for them. The Ohio State-Clemson game, obviously the one that should be more competitive. Ohio State's defense has been real suspect this year. I will say they've played better the last two or three weeks, but they really have yet to be tested. I mean, they haven't faced that many strong offensive teams the last 3 weeks, and it's a huge step up in Clemson. I think the one thing is for sure is Clemson can score in this game. You know, maybe like Clemson team total over might be the safest way to play it. I've seen it anywhere from 37 to 39.
You know, I'll tell you what, if Ohio State's going to hang around in this football game, they better put points up on the board because they're not going to stop Clemson. Olaf Merrill on the other side, bring it.
Non-stop live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
What, are you not going to listen?
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network. Took you long enough to get here, Sporto.
Now that you found us,
keep it right here for sports news you can use. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sports Grid is available on the radio, internet, TV, satellite,
and don't forget
our mobile app. So if you're not getting it,
you're just not trying.
Keep it right here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Late night anger management class continues. 3 minute warning, level one. Andrew McGinnis is going to step up and kick it with us. Drew Martin Betts as well. We've only got one more show left in the new year as far as the late night anger management class is concerned. Tonight and then tomorrow. Tomorrow should be off the hook. Although we can't get too crazy because we got to do game time decisions on Thursday yet. Tomorrow sort of is our New Year's Eve party. Last week we had the Christmas party, but it took me like 4 days to recover and I got pretty sick after the fact. But that's another story. Steve Merrill with us. So Steve, one thing that we have in common, you and me, we're both fans of first place football teams in the NFL. Never in doubt, Buffalo and Washington. Two powerhouses. What do you think happens this weekend? The Cowboys versus the Giants, and then Philadelphia and Washington. Who do you think ends up winning the division? So if the Cowboys win, you know the scenario. So well, you know, but just for people who don't realize, if Dallas wins the game, then they need Philadelphia to be Washington on Sunday night. Same thing. If the Giants win the game, they also need Philadelphia to beat the Giants. So that's Philadelphia to beat Washington. That's the way it plays out. But all Washington needs to do is win to get in. What happens, Steve? How do you think it plays out?
Well, I would say if I had to root for a team, it'd be the Bills and then probably the Steelers because I actually know the two coaches there. I don't know anybody on the Washington football team anymore. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, it all comes down to if Alex Smith plays or not. I put it on Twitter today. I believe 10-5 or 10-6 when he starts. 6-26 straight up when he does not start for the Redskins since 2018. And yes, all those listeners that think I'm politically incorrect, they were the Redskins for two of those 3 years when he was in the lineup. But yeah, they got to have Smith. If not, they're going to have Taylor Heinicke, Old Dominion alum from my neck of the woods here. as your playoff-bound starting quarterback, probably not what you want. But what a train wreck Haskins has been on and off the field. And let's not forget, that was Daniel Snyder's draft pick. And once again, why the Washington football team has not won for over 20 years.
Steve Merrill. Happy New Year, Steve. We'll speak to you in 2021.
Thanks, Gabe. Happy New Year.
Bring it.
Live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. Sports Grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.